Well, I hope we get a little bit out of this message today. I probably got more out of it than you'll get today.
Well, you're supposed to preach it to yourself first.
Well, I got more out of it then than I will now. That always happens. I don't know why it happens that way, Bruce. But when I'm studying, I get more out of the scripture than when I'm trying to proclaim it. So the message is for me. But I'm switching to, I'm not going to read my text right at first, but I'm going to switch over here to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, due to what we were talking about at noontime. There's a scripture in there that says, quench not the spirit. And that's what we're going to be talking about. Quench not the spirit. Paul talking to the church here at Thessalonica. First of all, I want to declare what quenching is, Brother JT. We talked about it during the noon. You just didn't realize it.
Yeah.
I used to be a fireman. Part-time fireman. Volunteer fireman. We'd get a call to go to a fire, and we'd get there, and that thing would be blazing up, Brother JT. Sometimes. But whatever size of fire that was there, we could put water on that dude. And soon, it would be quenched. The fire was put out. Sometimes there was ashes left. Sometimes some charcoal, some burnt wood, some smoke on other parts of the wood. But we could quench that fire most of the time with fire, with water. I say nearly every time, because a couple of times you had to put something else on there. But we always quenched the fire. And Paul says here, in his last few closing statements here to the church of Thessalonica, quench not the spirit. Quench not the spirit. How do you put the spirit out? How do you drive the spirit away? Well, that's a few things that we're going to look at in a few of the other scriptures. But you can quench the spirit. By sin. Sin's what quenches the spirit. Your sin. Your sin against God quenches the spirit. It pushes back. It builds a barricade. The sin does. Against the love of God. No, it cannot win. We know that. God's love always wins. But God does not like that sin in your life. Or in my life. And it will quench that spirit. And the spirit will draw away. My text for today is going to be found in Ephesians 4. And I'm going to read one scripture right here. And then you hold your place there, and then we're going to go to another one. But in chapter 4 of the book of Ephesians, we see the scripture says, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. It's grievous to him. What's not grievous to him is living a life of truth and righteousness through Christ. He's always pleased to know of the righteousness that's presented to him. It says, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. I see somebody reading ahead, so I'll go ahead and read the last part of that scripture there. How long does that, the sealing take place? I believe it was stated this morning. Our sealing of the Holy Spirit lasts until the day we go to be with the Lord. Yeah, I guess supposedly throughout eternity. Because he loves us. Whereby ye are sealed. That's an important word, sealed. Those that belong to him, that he has declared that they are his, they are sealed. The common word today is they're saved. That's the word that everybody likes to use. But I'm not speaking of those that are professing to be right with God. I'm talking about those that are truly, that truly belong to him. They are sealed unto the day of redemption. Now we could go in several different areas right there, and we'll come back here a little bit later on. Now hold your place there, and I want to go to an example. If I can remember where it is. Acts, the book of Acts. Okay, we're going to begin reading in the midst of the whole story because we don't have time to read the whole story and everything that's involved in it. But I want to begin reading in Acts chapter 4. Verse 31. Acts 4:31. And when they had prayed, keep in mind, there's a church meeting going on. God's elect had met together. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled. Strong spirit there. What would we do if the Spirit of God moved in with such force that the building and the grounds began to shake, Brother JT? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Would we recognize that it was of God? I hope we would. Whether it was man-made vibration or shaking or not, we'd have to say that God was in control.
Yeah, I don't think there was no fracking going on right then.
And not then. Maybe today, up or if you lived in the Dallas area. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. Were they filled with the Holy Ghost because of the shaking? I believe it was the Holy Spirit at work. Working in the lives of those that were gathered together there. And when they had prayed, Now, I'm not here teaching to speak in tongues, because I have trouble with that. I'm sorry. The place was shaken where they were assembled together. There was a gathering there, a congregation. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. Anytime that we begin to speak of the Lord, it should be with boldness, with a confirmation that He's in absolute control. And we've already spoke of that today. And He's always in that control. They spake the word of God with boldness. Because of who we are, we should be able to, when we go out into the community, be able to speak the boldness of God's word, the truth of God's word. And sometimes I fail there. And if you find fault with that, well, sometimes I do. Sometimes I'm weak in some certain areas. I go out and somebody will say something and I should have said something about it, and I don't. And sometimes I say too much. What are you grinning for, Linda? Two Jehovah Witnesses, or two ladies, knocked on my door yesterday morning, and I just barely heard them. I was sitting in the room that's right by the front door. I mean, that's far from the front door, and I could just barely hear them. So I stood there a minute. I figured it was the lady across the street, and I was going to let Linda go answer it. Well, she didn't even move. She must have not heard it. So I got up and opened the door, and the two ladies are there. And to make a long story short, she said, I've got a passage of scripture that I want to read you from out of the Bible. Jeremiah 31 and something, whatever it was. And I told her, I said, lady, I probably read more Bible scripture than you have today. And I was fixing to start telling her something else. She said, oh, well, okay, thank you. And so she turned around and walked off. She didn't want to get a discussion with me. That's what it was. But anyway, they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. I had a particular boldness about that. When I began to talk to someone about the Lord, I may stumble around, Bruce, but I have a particular boldness about it. Verse 32 says, and the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. I can't even talk about that yet, Brother Jordan. Right, Brother Jordan. I just can't. I'm not a communist. I'm stingy with everything I got. I shouldn't be. And I do try to share, and I do share. But they had all things common. If one planted the garden and had turnips out there, and the neighbors wanted turnips, they'd all have turnips. But verse number 33, listen to this. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all.
That's the reason they had all things common.
Yeah, that's right. They had a particular love with each other. They shared all things. They loved each other. And they could call each other brother and sister. Now, I've been criticized for not using that word more often, brother or sister. but I'm going to check you out first. That's the way I feel. That's me. And I shouldn't, maybe I shouldn't be that way. I even have trouble calling my wife sister. But nonetheless, and with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. I believe the grace of God is upon us here. But when we go out, we should be taking that, what we've learned here with us. We should testify of that grace. Bruce, when we go to our job, we should testify of that grace if we have the opportunity. Sometimes it's difficult, I know. I know it is, because I've been there. We can't just walk on to a job and begin to preach the gospel. But there are certain ways that we can speak, and certain ways that we can act, and certain ways that we can, certain places we can go and not go. One of my big problems, Brother JT, is jesting. Now, I don't know what everybody's definition of jesting is, but my definition of jesting is cracking jokes or some type of joke about some situation. If it's a serious matter about the things of God, the jesting should be set aside for sure. Now, Bruce, if you're looking for that verse, I'll get to it in a minute. I'll get to it in a minute. Verse 34, neither was there any among them that lacked, for as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them and brought the prices of the things that were sold. They went out, they had a common market between them. They shared evenly with each other. I do not understand all that. I'm sorry. And laid them down at the apostles' feet. And distribution was made unto every man according as he had need of. Nobody went hungry. Everybody's finances were met. They shared everything with each other. I need to study about that for a long time, Brother JT. Verse 36, and Joseph, who by the apostles was surnamed Barnabas, which is being interpreted the son of consolation, a Levite and of the country of Cyprus, having land, he sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. He laid it at the preacher's feet. That's so that it can then be evenly distributed. I believe that. There's another story in the book of Acts that we can go to, but we don't have that much time. But I want you to read this next illustration here. Remember our text now that I read over in the book of Ephesians? And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. Chapter 5, verse 1. But a certain man named Ananias, with Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession. And he kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy. That means they had a secret agreement between each other. And that's my testimony. That's my understanding of it. They had a secret agreement between each other. Well, this is the way we're going to handle this. And we don't have to tell anybody else how it's going to be handled. And they kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy to it, and that he brought a certain part. They brought only a part of it and laid it at the apostles' feet. Now, we're not talking about everything that we have to give everything that we have to the church or to the preacher or the kingdom of God. It all belongs to him anyway. But what we're talking about is there was an agreement between him and her. A secret agreement. It was a big fat lie is what it was. That's where the problem was. They said, well, we're going to be just like the rest of them. We'll sell all of our property and present it with them. Ever how you see, whether it's all of it or not, it doesn't matter to me. But they were determined, the husband and wife, with a particular ego, to be just like everybody else in the congregation. So, well, we'll sell ours too. We'll sell our house. Good. And we'll put that small part, we'll put this part that we agree on over here. We'll give this part in the church. And they think we did a great thing. But they were deceitful in what they did. But the thing about it is, God knew exactly what they were doing. But Peter in verse 3 said, Ananias, why has Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost? That's what she was doing. And apparently the husband had gone out somewhere else. And I don't believe it tells us here. And to keep back part of the price of the land. They kept back part of it. It just says part here and part over there. We don't know whether it was 5% to the church or 10% or 20% or 50% or 50-50 or whatever. It just says part. But whatever the case is, they were lying about it. That bothers me, Brother JT, about some of the things I've done in the past. I remember a time when I was at Pine Grove in Houston, and I was going to replace the threshold at the door. I was going to replace it because the door wasn't set. It was all messed up. Forgetting all that part. But I was going to replace it. I took the old one out. And sometimes after that, I don't remember what the time was, but we had left that church. I never did replace that threshold in that church. Was I lying to the Holy Spirit, Brother Jordan? I don't know. I really don't know. I'm really not sure about that. But I fully intended to replace that threshold. And everybody else knew that I was going to replace the threshold because I let it be known. Brother Sanford will fix that threshold. He'll take care of it.
I don't know what your circumstances was, but they didn't want me to come back fixing it.
Well, the way they talked about me from the pulpit, I'm not sure that I wanted to go back.
Yeah.
But, I didn't criticize all of them in the church. I didn't. I just left. I'll find my place in a minute. 4. I'm going to read in chapter 5 of Acts, verse 4. Whilst it remained, was it not thine own? That was in their case now. My illustration doesn't fit every single thing what we see here, but it does make me wonder. I certainly don't want to offend the Holy Ghost. Now there's another spirit, another verse over in the book of Matthew that we could go to, but I'm not going to have time to go over there. Whilst it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? There's where the problem is, in the heart. Now, Brother JT, over here in this first part that I read, it speaks as if I had the impression that everybody that was meeting there in the congregation was filled with the Holy Spirit and that they belonged to the Lord. Yeah. Now, my question is, how could these people over here with this lying heart, lying in all these matters it disengages them. It separates them. It burns bridges between them and the Holy Ghost. Putting it in my terms. Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. Okay. No matter how we see the whole thing is, it's lying unto God that said, well, yes, I'm going to live this kind of life. I'm not going to steal cars anymore. I use that nobody in here steals cars, so I can get by with that. I'm not going to steal cars anymore. And then while all of us meeting down here on Sunday afternoon on Monday, all the rest of the week at night, I'm going to go out and steal cars. I'd be lying. That's lying unto the Holy Spirit. And there are many other ways that we can lie. And I can't even begin to... address what those different ways are. But it's a matter of the way we live. But unto God, we must not lie. And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost, and great fear came on all them that heard these things. Fear comes up on me after reading it. I need to be very careful about presenting myself right before God. Now, when I say I'm talking about myself, I'm talking about you too. Don't get the idea I'm up here just talking about me. I learned a long time ago not to do that. I try to talk about myself so that I might be talking about you, Brother JT, or somebody else. And the young men arose and they wound him up. That means they had a particular burial cloth that they rolled him in. Well, they didn't bury him in caskets, as we talked about earlier, Brother JT. I believe this was a burial cloth. They wound him up in it from head to toe. There was nothing showing. I don't know how many layers there were. And I suppose that it was a particular type of cloth. And they carried him out and they buried him. And it was about the space of 3 hours later when his wife, I said that wrong in the beginning, but the wife came in second. When his wife now, knowing what was done, she came in. She'd been out somewhere buying groceries, probably. Cashing in her coupons. And Peter answered unto her. Now, she didn't know he was gone, had passed away, as we would say. He was dead, and they had already buried him within 3 hours' time. Linda, that's the way I want to go. When I pass, you'll have to throw me in the ground and forget about it. Don't shake your head. And Peter answered unto her, telling me whether you sold the land for so much. And she said, yea, for so much. Now, I have the feeling that Peter knew exactly how much it was. He was being taught and spread, informed by the Holy Spirit. And she said, yea, for so much. She agreed on it. He seemed to know how much it was. Then Peter said unto her, how is it that ye have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? That's what they were doing. They were tempting the Lord. Well, Lord, if you would just let us get by with this, we'll be good Christians from now on. But the couple was lying. They were tempting the Lord. But they had not said one word about how they were facing the Lord with this matter. They just went in to present their monies that they had sold their property for. Behold, the feet of them which have buried thy husband are at the door and shall carry thee out. That's the reason I'm thinking it was just 3 hours' time. When a person died in that day and time, Brother J.T., it looks like they just rolled them up in a burial shroud and went out there and buried them.
Yeah.
Verse 10, then fell she down straightway at his feet and yielded up the ghost. Let me translate that for you. God killed her. God killed her because she was lying about God's work. God grieves over these situations. He does not like sin. He does not like to be tempted. And he can handle it as he pleases. I'm thankful I'm still alive. That he hasn't executed me, killed me because of the sin that's been in my life. This teaches us to be careful about how we act, and how we talk, how we live. And the young men came in and they found her dead and carrying her forth, buried her by her husband. See, he was already buried. And great fear came upon all the church and upon as many as heard these things. Well, if it happened here in this church, we would have great fear in the church also. Because we would know that God, it would be more predominant in our life. And it was a sure thing unto us. There is a God, a holy God, a God full of terror. A God that's in absolute control. A sovereign God. Okay, I'm going to go back over to the book of Ephesians. That's just an example of that verse down here. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. And that's the way we're to live. I'm going to go back to verse 1 of chapter 4 and go through that chapter. I therefore the prisoner of the Lord. In a number of places, Paul says he's a prisoner, in some places a servant, in some places he's a bond slave, but God picked him out, but God chose him. And here he was a prisoner. Prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. Whatever God calls us to be is what we should be, and that's the way we should go about working and living. And he didn't call us to go out and lying about everything. I'm sorry, I keep getting hung up on that word, lying. When we sin, that's what we're doing. If we belong to him, if we are his people, and we commit a sin, we're lying to him. We're tempting him. Verse 2, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love. We've already talked about those things. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Verse 4, there is one body and one Spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father. Let me back up to verse 5 there where it talks about one baptism. That's not talking about a water baptism. That's talking about a spiritual baptism. One God and Father of all. I guess we could say there is one. There's only one baptism. Even if you've been in the water swimming half a dozen different times, not one of them counts for a baptism. Verse 6, one God, one Father, and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace. Those that belong to the Lord have been given some grace, a certain amount of grace. That grace involves, he causes us and gives us a loving spirit toward everybody. One of understanding. One that enjoys going to church and having fellowship with brothers and sisters in Christ. According to the measure of the gift of Christ. You see those words right there? According to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. I'm sure glad he gave me a few gifts. Brother JT, when I was in, what grade are you in, Joey? Seventh grade. Somewhere along there, seventh or eighth grade, I was in this English class, and the English teacher, I think she covered everything, but anyway, the English teacher, she wanted me to get up and make a book report, or to read a poem, or do different things like that in front of the class at school. I don't know whether y'all do that or not, but they wanted me to do this, and I said, not me. Teacher, I wouldn't do it. I always had this fixation of, I was terrified at standing in front of people. Not as much now as I used to be. He added the grace of being able to stand in front of people. He wore that rebellion is what it was. Rebellion. You know, I don't have to get up in front of your class.
He did it in first
Yeah. Wherefore it says, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. I'm glad he gave gifts to me. I didn't have the willpower and the grace, the understanding. I didn't have the want to. I would have been terrified standing here in this place. But God gave me the ability to do it. Not that I do it very well, but I hope I glorify and please him some way. Verse 9, now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all, man, all things. He might fill all things. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and some teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. I hope that every time I speak before you hear or whenever I might speak to folks, that they might be edified. Even if I'm on the street talking to somebody that's standing at the street corner, sleeping under the bridge at night, and last week, I believe it was, I said a couple of words to a lady that lived in Angleton across the street from where that house I've been working on. She come over there and she's talking to Linda. She was talking about salvation. And I talked to her that those that belong to the Lord belong to her before the foundation of the world. And she didn't know where that scripture was, but she knows where it is now. Now, she needed to have more scriptures, Brother Bruce. She really did, but she'll be looking. She'll be studying. Hopefully, I hope that's what she's doing for the edifying of the body of Christ till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge and of the Son of God unto a perfect man under the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. One day, we will be just like him. Full of righteousness. Full of love for each other, with a much better understanding. When we'll see all things right. I can't wait for that day. That we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Just to deceive us. We're not out there to deceive anybody. But the world is. And they'll do their best. Even as was mentioned this morning, some of the churches that are... I watched part of that funeral yesterday on TV. They had some good singing on there. I liked it. But I was admiring the structure of that building in there. It must be very attractive to some people. Wonder how many people that beautiful structure draws in, Brother JT.
Not a whole bunch.
It doesn't draw me in.
Something about that.
Well, I don't know them over there, so I don't know.
But most of their parishioners don't go to church regularly. They just send their money. And that's their righteousness. That building, that fine, nice building you was looking at, is their righteousness.
And it's worthless.
Was this right. Her church, or was this the Second Baptist Church?
No, it was.
I'm talking about the
Episcopal.
Yeah. Right there. Very ornate.
They was kind of working back and forth between the two.
It was unbelievable how much they.
Second Baptist got more building than they got.
Well, I know that the stained glass windows.
The size I'm talking about.
I don't remember the size. I have been to the Second Baptist, but. Unbelievable. That on the right. Correct? Said, I go to whatever the name of it was. It wasn't St. Martin's, was it? St. Martin's?
Yeah, St. Martin's. That's one of them. There's many St. Martin's.
Yeah. I don't know. You know more about it than I do. And then when they left there, they had to go to Austin or somewhere over that way.
Yeah, went to College Station.
College Station, that's right. Okay. I don't remember where I was, but 15. By speaking the truth in love, may grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, Christ. Christ is the head. He's our head. We can put another thought in there. He's our leader. All we have to do is study all of God's Word, read it day and night.
Let me read it to you. Colossians, the first chapter, verse 18.
Uh-huh.
And He is the head of the body of the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead. And in all things He may have the preeminence.
That's it. I wouldn't want to mess up our where you just read, but read verse 16.
Mm-hmm. For by Him were all things created. That's what where Bruce was this morning, that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by Him and for Him, that He might have the preeminence.
And He's sovereign in all these matters.
Yeah.
And we need to remember that. We need to put Him first. We need to be careful about what we say and think and how we act. That's so hard to do. Because sometimes I'm so full of foolishness. I might be 77 years old, but I like to act like I'm 16. Why are you smiling, Betty? Verse 16. From whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplied, according to the effectual working of the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body and the edifying of itself in love. Edifying of itself in love. This I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk. This is what we're talking about. It's getting down to the nitty gritty here. Not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. Their hearts are blinded. Who being past feeling, have given themselves over unto lasciviousness. When you're not living as a righteous saint of God, you've given yourselves over unto lasciviousness on that occasion. Of course, that right there is, Bruce, that's speaking of those that don't belong to him. So we need to consider this. To work all uncleanness and greediness, but ye have not so learned Christ. Now that word right there, that does bother me a little, but ye have not so learned Christ. If so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. I'm thankful for his word, but I don't know where to read, and I pick up the Bible and say, where am I going to read and study today? I like to go to Psalms or the book of Matthew. The words of Christ that you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, the old man, that one that would run up and down the street in that Plymouth I was talking about earlier, Brother JT, doing the things that I shouldn't have done. Which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. And a man that lives in that condition, in that particular, he's way down here, verse 30, and where it says, he's grieving the Holy Spirit of God. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, can't just fly past that. Put away some of these things. If we belong to the Lord, we should put them away. Wherefore, putting away lying, speaking every man truth with his neighbor, semicolon, for we are members one of another. That's what we are here. We're members one of the other. Be ye angry and sin not. That's where the problem is. We call it, it's easy to say, sin. Be ye angry. And sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. If you get mad at me, you're supposed to come to me and apologize before the sun goes down. Why are you laughing, Linda?
Maybe he wants you to come apologize.
Maybe it would go either way, wouldn't it?
Yeah, that's right. Well, that's right. It would go either way. I just didn't want to let you off that light. Neither give place to the devil. Don't give place to him. He'll lead you astray. Let him that stole steal no more. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, and he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying. If you say anything, let it be edifying. That was one of the, of all the testimonies that went out for eulogizing Barbara Bush, they were all, that she often said something that was very important, that was critical of their ways and was edifying toward them. And that's what she meant it for to be. I don't know anything about her. I wasn't there. She never lived in my house, nor have I ever visited her in any place like that.
Nor next door either, huh?
That's right. But all I know is what they said. They talked like she was always teaching them something. Now, I don't know what she taught, but when we spoke.
Teaching them how to read.
Okay. I hope that when we go out and we speak, that we might be edifying. Mm-hmm. That it may minister grace unto the hearers. And verse 30, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. 31 and 32, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking. What is evil speaking? Well, I'm not going to talk about that for an hour. But evil to me, evil speaking is talking behind somebody's back when they're not around. Let me tell y'all about that person. Be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another. Even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven me. He says you here, but me. He forgave me. And I hope he forgives you. My prayer is that each one of us will take God's word and study it and then make it part of their life every single day. And that we may strive to be righteous before God the Father in heaven. That we'll be careful how we act and live and speak. That we might not grieve him. That we might not quench that fire that he's put on us.